Hey, podcast listeners, glad you are joining us this week. We got a great program lined up. If you want to listen,
we're going to have a conversation with John about inherited assets and how to manage those, as well as Juliet. And Juliet is questioning whether she should be taking a tax deduction on her 401k contribution or making it a Roth.
And a single woman with two teenage boys, poor thing. Furthermore, we're going to talk a little bit about the fiduciary standard that changed this last week. We'll talk a little bit about hedge funds and some other things to look out. Anyway, I think we have a great program. If you like it on iTunes, go to Hanson McLean. You look at Hanson McLean and give us a good review, if you would. Please give us a good review on iTunes. And glad you're part of the Hanson McLean's family.
Answering your tough financial questions with a little humor and a lot of fun. It's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Glad you are here with us on this weekend. As actually, could be any day during the week if you're on a podcast, as many of our listeners are. But if you are listening on one of our many radio stations, it is on the weekend. So glad you are here with us, both myself and my co-host here, Pat. We're both financial advisors. I don't even know if I like that term anymore. But anyway. So
we hope people.
Just because everyone's a financial advisor.
It is, isn't it? Everyone calls themselves a. We help
certified
people at the intersection
planner.
Of life choices and money.
Yeah, we guide people along the way in helping them maximize their finances so that they can maximize their life. Anyway, that's what we do throughout the week. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. And so we're glad you're here with us. We've got, actually, there is more stuff that happened this week for us to talk about. So we're going to spend some time talking about some things and how that really impacts you in the news with financial.
Some really good things, too.
Good things, some good things.
Yeah.
Everything's good.
No, well, not everything's good, but there's been some good things.
Actually, a lot of stuff.
There's some good things that we've been harping about for years and years and years.
Well, there's some mixed blessings and some of these things. And we'll take some calls as well and just have a fantastic time together during the Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And if you'd like to be part of the program, you'd like to call us with a question. Maybe it's something in your financial life that you're struggling with. Actually, no one wants to admit they're struggling. If you would like some additional guidance or a second opinion to be part of the program, maybe it's retirement, trying to figure out what's this next season of your life going to be looking like? How do you fund these sort of things?
Maybe you're just starting out and you're questioning whether you should be putting money into a 401k or a Roth IRA.
Or somewhere else.
Or maybe in light of the fiduciary standards, the last gasp of the variable and indexed annuity has surfaced and people are trying to shove some product down your throat.
Yeah. Whatever the case may be, if you want to join the program here, our contact number is 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. Hanson's Hanson. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. Again, that's 888-242-6766. And
as always, you can visit us on moneymatters.com.
You were gone last weekend. I did solo.
How was it? The ratings went crazy.
Oh, I mean, they came out and I looked at them. I said, we can't show Pat these. It was unbelievable. I got calls from the program directors.
What was the last time you looked at a rating?
I don't know.
Would you even know where to find the ratings? I don't know if it was good or not.
I have no idea it was good.
I actually listened to a little bit of the podcast.
You did?
I enjoyed it,
You thought, what's it like? Pat's thinking, I wonder if Hanson could just do it and I could just ride my bike all day.
How did you know what I was thinking? That is exactly. I thought to myself.
Maybe he's better without me.
I thought to myself, would it be too forward if I came in and said he was better without me? And that as your business partner contractually, it would be better for the organization for me to ride my bike.
I'm taking the weekends off from now on. And
I'm riding my bike.
You took the family back east or something.
I went to Boston and New York to the kids had never been there. So all four of them, two in college and two in high school, all four of them went.
Are you going to have three in college next year?
The year after, we'll have three in college.
Will there be a point when you have four in college?
I'm hoping not. I hope all four of them go to college if that's what they want to do. And that I can encourage that sort of behavior. But so we went back and looked at schools in Boston and New York. So hopefully my son doesn't go to school back. Nothing there's wrong with Boston or New York. It's just a long way away.
Oh, my son this week just committed and wrote a check. Well, he didn't write a check.
Where to?
I don't know who wrote the check. I know I'm going to write the check eventually. Boston College.
Oh, is that what? Yeah, that is a Boston. Beautiful campus.
Oh, the campus is unbelievable. Campus. It looks like Harry Potter.
Yeah, beautiful campus.
Hopefully the academics are good, too.
Yeah, it's a beautiful campus. Beautiful. Yeah, nice Jesuit.
He basically wanted to get as far away from the West Coast, from home, I think.
Nice Jesuit college there?
Yeah, other than that, the Irish traditions.
Wait. If we could get slow, the Jesuits were not Irish.
Oh. But the Irish have embraced the Jesuits.
They have. We have. I'm now speaking for the whole Irish culture.
Actually, it was actually my hope of him to go to one of the Jesuit schools. And we're not Catholic, and my kid hasn't gone to any of the. But I just appreciate the traditions of the Jesuit, and I actually do appreciate some of the teachings along there. And anyway,
so anyway, congratulations on your son selecting the school. I think he's. So, wow, it's soon.
You know, it's really interesting. Now we're getting a little personal. So,
don't get personal. Don't share.
Oh, life is always perfect at the Hansen household. Always happy.
Everyone, my wife and I get along fine all the time.
We never argue about anything.
Dream marriage.
I just say, honey, if I want to hear your opinion, I'll give it to you. our sons are youngest. We have a 20-year-old who's in college. Our sons are youngest, and he's the type. He may not be back next summer. He was gone all last summer back at Georgetown taking a course in high school. I don't know where he gets the motivation. I was not like that at his age.
Yeah.
So we're driving to, my wife and I went to dinner. We met him for dinner last night, which is kind of rare anymore because he's,
he's
a senior in high school. He's 6 weeks left of school or whatever. So as I'm pulling out of the driveway and I actually start counting down how many months I've got with kids in the house, and it's less than 5 months.
Yeah.
And it was...
time flies.
I'm normally a pretty... I just all of a sudden got emotional. I thought, I can't start crying. I got to act tough here.
Yeah.
But it's like a strange season of life.
And think about that. It's how people that we meet with that are going into retirement, how that must feel.
Well, it's funny because at Hanson McLean, we've been helping people at this retirement stage... Well, since we started, right?
Yeah, 20 some odd years.
And what, 4,000 households, many of which are retired. And it's been an interesting thing watching as people approach retirement. And what I think we've seen is what people were anticipating, it's not always, the reality is not always what they were expecting.
Oh, how many people have you told that they should possibly consider going back to work? Not because of the money, but because of they had too much day for the time.
Yeah.
Particularly those
that are kind of hard drivers.
And active or management, mid-level management or professionals, which is I can think of many, many, many clients that I said, you know, you might want to either consider getting extremely involved in a charity that is of importance to you or go back to work. And it has nothing to do with the money. Nothing. So think about this. You're going through this stage and your kid's leaving the house and it's emotional. I can't even imagine what you'd be like if you had to retire.
It's interesting, Pat. I remember this was years ago. There was a gentleman we worked with who was retiring relatively young. This is very tragic, really tragic. He had a heart attack and passed away at his retirement party.
Yeah.
Literally, during his retirement party. I mean, here's with your closest friends and colleagues. Tragic. Really tragic. But the interesting thing, I remember back at the time thinking, obviously it's tragic for many, many reasons, but he never got to experience retirement. And as I've gone through life, I'm now kind of wonder how much of it was the stress of retirement.
No question.
That helped trigger on this, obviously, had some hard issues.
The unknown. The unknown.
That's one of the things that I think so many people in our industry, they focus on retirement. Let's help people. Our industry is all about this, right? Retirement's your number. Let's save for a retirement. And once you get to a certain amount of number, you can retire. That's great for some people. But even retirement, most people don't plan their life at 25-year chunks, right? It's not about, oh, you're retired? Great. Let's use the 4% rule. And off you go.
Yeah. Just, right? We'll send you a check every month. See, and you fill
enjoy
the day.
Retire. I don't know what you're going to do, but Enjoy your life, right? Most people, and if we've certainly experienced this as financial advisors at Hanson McLean for so many years, most people's retirement goes through seasons. So the first few years, oftentimes it's more active. We've seen people that we've had clients who've sold their house and live in a motorhome full time, motor coach, or these big, that's what they do for years. I've seen people take countless trips and vacations, but it's typically for a season. And then
They move to the next season.
Sometimes their grandkids are now living with them.
Sometimes
Sometimes
they're taking care of the grandkids might not be living with them, but they're taking care of the grandkids. They're driving them to school. Well,
that's really common.
Oh.
But then you also see people, they've lived in a certain area. Suddenly they're, I was thinking of some clients, they lived in Sacramento for years. Both of their children moved to Texas.
And where did Dallas. They move?
Texas. They moved to Texas.
Because they can they be close to be around the grandchildren and their children.
Yeah, so most of the time as people plan their financial lives, and we talk about retirement plan, this show is really about, we dig in some of the nuts and bolts, but it's really helping people figure out what they want to accomplish in life. And money's just a tool to help people accomplish their dreams and their goals, right? That's money in itself has no value. It's what money can do for you.
It's the way you have stored your labor.
So what we've noticed over the years is most people want to plan their life in different kind of seasons. All right, obviously I need money. So someday if I don't want to work anymore or I can't work anymore, work can be a choice, not an obligation. I've got the cash flow coming in. But really it's also people's retirement even tends to go through different types of seasons. And they'll have periods where they might have a lot more spending than other periods of time because of what they want to try to do or try to accomplish. Or it's just.
Yeah, it's, things change.
Things change.
Things change.
And so many.
And retirement isn't all about leisure. In fact, I get to tell you, that when you think back to the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients that we have, that I've worked with personally, and thousands in the firm.
And then think of all the thousands over the radio program.
Correct. The ones that they step into retirement gently. They don't dive into the retirement pool. So they'll go to work part time. They'll be on contract if their job allows for it. If their job allows.
For those that during their 50s can figure out how do I transition my career so that I can do some sort of contracting or seasonal employment, those are the ones that seem to have the greatest amount of flexibility during their retirement years.
People don't necessarily want to quit working. They want more control over their life. And corporate America recognizes that.
I think there'll be some changes this time as things go on.
Yes.
Not everyone needs to be there from 7 to 5 every day.
That's not with technology today.
No, I know. Anyway, the clock says we need to take a break here in a moment. If you want to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters and join us and call us, our number to be part of the program is 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-242-6766. 1-888-2-HANSON. Love to take your call. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start with the call. And we got a lot of great stuff, so stick around.
Got a question? Visit moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Back to Northern California's financial experts, Hanson McLean's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSON.
All right, Northern California, how about global financial experts?
Yes.
We're Northern California's global financial experts.
That's right. Well,
global. Broadcasting from Northern California to the world.
That's nice.
I don't know about that, but what are we talking about?
Huh?
I'm just trying to think.
Oh, well, think big, Scott. Think big.
Think big. All right.
Think big.
1-888-2-HANSON to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, and we'll take a call. And then we've got... Man, I guess we have so much stuff we want to talk about.
I do actually want to talk about some of the new legislation.
Oh, because legislation is always fun to talk about. So anyway, let's talk with John. John, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Pat. How are you?
Wonderful. Hi, John. How can we help you?
I have an aunt who passed away July 2015, and I am the appointed trustee to handle the distribution of her estate.
Oh, good times. I'm sure that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Myself and my sister are the beneficiaries to her estate.
Okay, so just two of you.
Yeah. And so I'm working through the process of putting everything in her trust and then splitting it 50-50 and separating everything.
Okay.
And she had some shares of PG&E stock that I believe she's had forever, for a long time. And when I have an old stock certificate, I submitted, actually, I have an attorney that's helping me, but we submitted it to PG&E, mm-hmm. or American Stock Transfer, that's responsible for the PG&E shares.
Okay.
And we turned in the stock certificate. They said that it had been reported lost or stolen, and that a new stock certificate was issued for that one.
Okay.
So they subsequently, they confiscated that stock certificate. They said, provide the stock certificate that is in place of that. I've looked all over. I cannot find it. So they gave us a procedure how to, I had to get everything notarized saying that I was acting trustee.
Yeah. So let me, can I ask this one question? Is this, has it been turned over to a state, the state of California, this lost money?
No.
So the transfer agent still has you on record.
Or your aunt.
Oh, your aunt on record. And says
I believe my aunt's still on record.
Okay.
Of it.
Okay.
She'd receive like a quarterly dividend on it.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Okay.
Yeah. So she was receiving her dividends. We notified the transfer agent that she is deceased, and we want to transfer it into our trust and then to the two new owners. They said, "Well, the stock certificate you have is reported lost or stolen. This is the procedure you need to do to request a new certificate before we'll do anything." So we do that. And then they said, okay, well, to do that, it's going to be $1,871 to do it.
And to do what?
So almost $1,900 to transfer the stock. And I thought, okay, maybe it'll be
$100. Who's they? Your attorney or the transfer agent?
The transfer agent. Okay. American Stock Transfer.
And what's the value of this stock?
The stock is roughly about $60,000. There's about 1,060 shares. And it's worth right now, market, probably somewhere around $60,000.
How can they say that it's going to cost $1,800 to...
And John, how much would they charge you just to send you a check? Because you don't necessarily want these stock certificates. You just want the money they represent.
Right. And I actually, we would prefer to keep it intact and not take the cash just yet.
But they
said before they'll do anything, you need to have a current stock certificate.
For
these shares. They won't do anything. They won't distribute it. They're not, they've stopped issuing the quarterly dividends. So they said, well, we need to get the proper stock certificate to us before we will do anything. And so that's where we're at. And they said,
okay,
it's going to be $1,871. Write us out a check for it and we'll do it. Or you can sell enough of the shares to cover that cost.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking, wow, that's a lot of money to be charging for that.
Yeah, I agree.
I've never heard
that someone had to pay so much money.
Well, and I went ahead and I contacted PG&E directly and said, hey, this is the situation. They said, well, you know, you can put in writing, you can appeal it, give your reasoning why you don't think it should be this much. But they said part of the reason is we need to issue a bond to ensure that this stock certificate isn't floating out somewhere. They're going to come in.
Correct.
We've transferred it, and now they say, hey, I want to collect my $60,000.
Yeah. So what happens is that it's 3%. It's essentially 3% because now there's a surety bond that actually has to be issued with that stock certificate.
And that's what I was wondering. And
unlikely.
That 1871 is roughly 3%.
Yeah.
Maybe a tad higher.
It is unlikely that anyone would be able to present that certificate and actually then redeem the shares, but they can.
The stock certificate that I turned into them had an issue date of like 1999, I think, and they said another stock certificate had been issued in lieu of that one, like in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been missing for a number of years.
Which is one of the reasons we don't like individual stock certificates. And by
they
the
look
way,
nice.
You very rarely see them anymore. You want them to actually be held in a brokerage account, if at all possible. So, you're going to end up paying that. I and quite frankly, If I was advising you on this, I would say just sell the stock and don't
build
worry.
The right portfolio
build the
for
right
John.
Portfolio for John. It's just going to make your life
sell the
easier.
Whole amount?
Yeah, everything she has. Everything she has. There's no tax consequences. And if I gave you minimal,
it was off from July 2015.
You're going to end up with $30,000 of this. So let's walk through this. If I walked up to you and said, "I want you to buy $30,000 of PG&E shares today," what would you say?
I would probably say no.
Okay, you just said yes by keeping it.
Okay.
It isn't necessarily what you would do. Just because you inherited it, you bring, and there's no tax implications in it. You always bring everything back to cash. And you build what's appropriate for you. The reason she may not have done that is because of the tax implications. Your aunt may not have done it because of the tax implications along the line.
Or it was a fine company. She understood it.
And she was comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I cash it in, then I'm going to be paying tax.
No taxes.
Because what happens, assets receive 99% of the time, unless there's something strange here, assets will receive a stepped-up basis upon someone's death. So it's whatever. The only tax consequence would be whatever change the stock had between the day you sell it and July 2015.
Okay.
Yes, and negligible.
And the reason why I was hesitant not to sell it is I don't really need the money to meet my monthly day-to-day expenses. And I've noticed when she gets these quarterly dividends, I thought, that seems like a fairly decent quarterly dividend that comes in.
Yeah, but if you don't need the money, then it might be better to you to have it invested somewhere you're going to have the best
John, are
chance
you,
for long-term growth without any taxable distributions.
Are
today.
You funding a Roth IRA?
I do not have a Roth IRA.
There we go.
There's a lot of things that you could do with the money that would be...
I would take that money and I would fund a Roth IRA. In fact, I would fund a Roth IRA for 2015 and then I'd fund a Roth IRA for 2016. You could do so before April 15th.
And isn't that like around only $2,500 or $2,700 a year you can put in there?
How old are you?
I am 45.
It's $5,500.
$5,500.
There's $11,000.
There's $11,000.
Now it's all tax free in the future.
Okay.
So there's.
And I also, a government employee, so I will receive probably when I retire, if I retire at 55, maybe at 66% of my salary retirement. My deferred compensation is maxed out at this point.
Perfect. So. Oh. No, I would point one thing out. Are you married, John?
I am married.
Okay, and how much money are you going to inherit from your aunt? The
total amount?
Yeah.
Probably somewhere around $250,000, $240,000.
Okay, so this is considered separate property. Money that is inherited or has been gifted is considered separate property, which is not property of the marriage. So as long as you keep it in your separate name, then it's considered separate property. And
but we're necessarily recommending that. You just need to keep that.
What do you mean?
Pat, if you inherited some money today,
How long? Scott, your wife inherited some money. What did you tell her to do?
Oh, give it all to me.
Did you keep?
No, I didn't.
Did you keep some separate?
I don't think so. She ended up giving a lot of it away.
Okay. So
it's a variety of different organizations.
I am recommending it. Scott may not recommend it, but I'm recommending it. if it doesn't create...
Just keep it in my name. It's inherited.
Yeah, if it doesn't create too much marital strife and as a percentage of the portfolio of your overnet worth.
I mean, as financial advisors, I think it's important to let people understand. If you keep it separate, it remains separate property. Once you commingle it together, then it becomes a community asset.
And if divorce unfortunately ever occurs, then it would be an asset of the marriage and not individual property. Right. So that is, do what you want with that.
So if it went into a Roth IRA, then that would be a community.
Went into a Roth IRA and not and Roth IRA was
the
in
bigger
your name.
Whether the Roths are right, Roth probably is the right thing. But I think Pat's point is, look, this is an opportunity for you to do some planning with some assets that you've inherited. You've got $250,000 and it's all right. John's 45, married. And what's the best kind of financial plan for John at this stage in life? What's the best kind of portfolio that
in the
build?
Family? Should you fund 529
absolutely.
Plans?
All those
this?
Things. So, and I get it if you don't want to get rid of the stock today. I'm not necessarily saying you should dump the stock for any other reason other than just because you inherited an asset does not mean you need to keep the asset. And it's oftentimes a good time to rebuild, restart, because there's no tax consequence. The taxes have just been forgiven. We're up against the clock here at Hanson McLean. If you'd like to join us, 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766.
Are you questioning if the advice you receive from your stockbroker or financial advisor is best for you? If so, run it by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Simply visit their website at moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Taking the financially complex and making it simple, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, sticking around with us, maybe if you're just tuning in. Hopefully if you're just saying, who are these guys on the radio? Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We've been broadcasting our financial program for over 20 years out of Northern California. Started on KFBK in Sacramento. We're also on KGO in the Bay Area, KGO 810. And in Denver, we're on KOA News Radio 1850 AM. In Los Angeles, we're on the Patriot AM 1150. And in San Diego, we're on KOGO News Radio 600 KOGO. And also a podcast. I think last I looked, we have maybe more listeners on our podcast. You can get our podcast by going to iTunes, just looking at Hanson McLean.
H-A-N-S-O-N.
Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Or go to our website, moneymatters.com, because at moneymatters.com, we've got a way to sign up for Money Matters.
As well as a large educational library at moneymatters.com.
Yeah.
And a track that we use, a financial planning tool that we use, called the 7 Personal Decision Points, which walks people through the retirement planning process at a relatively simple, easy to understand method. And it's a program that Scott and I actually developed after 25 years in the business to help 25 years of helping people understand their financial situation. We developed the 7 Personal Decision Points, and it's a 15-18 minute webinar.
Yeah.
Easy to understand.
Just go to moneymatters.com and you'll be able to get the webinar, or also have a guide as well, 7 Personal Decision
Points. Or type in a subject. If you have questions about 529s, college planning, IRA rollovers, it's all right there at moneymatters.com.
So this interesting week, this last week, the Department of Labor, which exists, one would think, to help employees primarily. I think that's what, I don't exactly know the history of the Department of Labor, but like many government agencies, they start at one thing and they continue to grow and grow. So the Department of Labor released new rules and guidance, regulation, on retirement plans that once somebody leaves their job, the Department of Labor is going to continue to,
Have direction over that money that was accumulated through your employment, 401k, 403b,
457.
Technically, it shouldn't be a 457, but the 457.
Anything that goes into an IRA rollover, an IRA is now, not only is the Securities Exchange Commission, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, the Consumer Financial Protection Board, but also the Department of Labor also has a say in how these dollars should be invested.
So you've got four regulatory bodies in the government.
Not counting the states. Every state has their own.
Helping you to make sure that and I hope it actually helps.
So here's the interesting thing. It's all about having a fiduciary standard. And a fiduciary is a legal obligation to put your client ahead of yourself, right? When you go to an attorney, your attorney has a fiduciary standard to put your interest above their own.
It doesn't mean they can't charge.
No.
It doesn't mean that they can't charge as much as you're willing to pay. All it means is that there can't be any side deals that or backroom deals that enhance the attorney's situation above that of your own.
Yes. So, for example, the traditional brokerage firms have operated on what's called a suitability standard. As long as a product is suitable for somebody.
Whatever that means.
Is it suitable? Is it good enough for them? It could still be in the broker's best interest if as long as it's suitable, and that would be fine. So what this changes, and this has been fascinating to watch because it's been going on for a couple of years, and the lobbyists behind from the financial services company really got this bill watered down. Not a bill, it was the regulations watered down quite a bit by the time they were finally released Wednesday of this past week.
But there were people on both sides in the financial industry that were pushing for this.
Yeah, I personally, well, I'm not, and we could speak for Hanson McLean as well as a company, we're all for the fiduciary standard. Matter of fact, Hanson McLean, we've been a fiduciary for decades.
Yes, we like the fiduciary standard. We like the fact that you put your client's interest above that of the advisors.
Yeah, so we were never against this from the start. We never certainly didn't regulate, lobby against this. The challenge, the one thing I don't like about it is the concept of the Department of Labor regulating people that aren't in the labor workforce.
Yeah, couldn't it have taken place through?
It could have taken place with the Securities Exchange Commission, but they just didn't do the job, essentially.
So now technically, you could have a fourth audit firm come into any one of the investment advisory firms in the United States and audit them.
And you're 85 years old, and you've got the Department of Labor still regulating how you're.
That's the bad part about it. Tell them the good part.
Well, the good part, there's been some just crappy financial products.
You've heard it. If you've listened to this show at all, you know that we are not fond of non-traded real estate investment trusts.
Correct.
Because they pay big commissions.
Hey, look at the studies. I'll show that how much more money you'll earn by having a publicly traded one.
Yeah. Big, big commissions.
But they're sold.
And they're sold. Non-traded REITs. Non-traded real estate investment trusts. The other is indexed annuities. Complicated, expensive products.
Yeah. And sometimes annuities make some sense for a portion, but a lot of them are just garbage products out there.
Yeah.
So a lot of these are not going to be able to be sold any longer.
Which is perfect.
It is good. It is,
but
really
it got
good.
Watered down quite a bit in terms of proprietary products and
yeah. Anyway. So anyway, that's the fiduciary rule. You'll probably hear more. Really
and
exciting.
We're happy about it.
I'm mixed.
I'm happy, other than the fact that there's another government body. But after we take a couple, we'll get back to this subject.
Oh, because it's so exciting.
Let's take a call. Huh? It's important. But it should have been done by the Consumer Protection Bureau.
That's kind of what I thought, because this was a bureau that was created after the financial crisis to act as a, whether you like them or not, as a regulatory body that for things that fell through the cracks. Why didn't they come in and step up and do this instead of going after car loans of where they're not loaning the right people or something? Anyway, let's talk to Juliet. Juliet, you're with Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Juliet.
Hi. So I have a question. I heard different variations on how you can save for tomorrow without being impacted by tomorrow's taxes today. So is it better to save in a 401k that is pre-tax and then you get taxed when you retire? Or is there a different method that you can use to save for tomorrow today without the additional taxes?
Great question. Because maybe the question should be, am I better off paying taxes on my savings now and taking them tax-free in the future? Or am I better off taking the tax deduction for them now and paying taxes in the future? And every situation is different.
So kind of as general rules of thumb, if you're in a high tax bracket today because of relatively high income, and you'll believe you'll be in a lower tax bracket in the future, then you want to defer as much taxes today. For example, maximize any company savings plan, 401k, to take a tax deduction today when you're in a high tax bracket. Conversely, if you believe you'll be in a higher tax bracket later than you are today, well, you probably wouldn't want to take a tax deduction today. You'd be better off paying taxes today so you don't have to pay again in the future. But even further than that, a general rule is it's great if we can be diversified in our tax strategy, because nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring. No one knows what the future of Congress will do. And it's, boy, I tell you, you look at a couple of leading presidential candidates now.
You got a guy that's going to a flat tax and another one that
at
wants
90%,
the
right? Yeah. So it's really kind of anyone's guess. And so ideally, if you get to later in life tomorrow, as you called it, and you've got some money in a traditional retirement plan where it's going to be taxed when you withdraw it. You've got some money in a Roth IRA or 401k where it's already been taxed, tax-free. Maybe you have some money just in a mutual fund that you've been saving up over the years where you can have a either take a loan against it and avoid any taxes, or you can sell it and pay capital gain tax rates. You might actually have some in a real real property, a rental or something like that, that's got some of its own unique tax benefits. So
what does your situation look like? What's your income?
So my income's around 120, and I'm single.
And how old are you?
Two teenage boys.
Good Lord.
I know, right?
and how old are you?
I'm 44.
Okay.
And is your question is should you take, should you take advantage of the company 401k?
Yes.
I think you should.
Yeah. And
because even when you back out your expenses, you're still in a 25% marginal tax rate, your top income. And if you and a lot of your income is being taxed at 15, but the kind of next level you're at right now is taxed at 25%. If you were my sister, I would say, Juliet, take advantage of the company save. Take advantage of the 401k. Take the tax deduction today.
Take it today.
Yeah,
I'd take it
and
today.
Put the maximum. And how much money are you? How much are you putting in now?
I was maxing it out until a life change. So now I kind of lowered what I was contributing. So I'm trying to figure out: are there other means other than the 401k, or should I just stick with the 401k and max it out?
If you were my sister, I would say if your retirement savings, I would max out that 401k before I did anything else, just given the level of your income you're at right now.
Okay.
All righty.
Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. And good luck with those teenage boys.
If they're anything like mine, and they say, what are you doing? Nothing. How was school? Okay.
Just grunt.
I was thinking of driving a kid back home from a sporting event yesterday. I said, you want to stop and get something to eat? Are we going to eat together?
Are we going to eat together?
We'll be sitting in the same restaurant.
All right, Hanson McClain's got to take a quick break. 1-888-2-HANSON is our number. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain.
Yeah, Merle Haggard passed away this last week.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's like all the old great, I guess, people who have been dying since the beginning
of time. How many Merle Haggard songs do you know?
I don't know any, but every once in a while I like that old school country. I think it's kind of comical.
I like a little, I grew up on Johnny Cash.
What do you mean you grew up on Johnny
Cash?
You grew up on Johnny Cash?
My dad was a Johnny Cash fan, and that's what he would listen to.
Well, my stepfather's from Oklahoma.
And so he's...
Yeah, boy, and I lived with them for a few years, and it was country 24/7.
That's a good time.
Put another log on the fire. Mix me up some bacon, then some beans.
Oh,
there's something else.
Old school.
And then, honey, tell me why you're leaving me. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like some of that old school country because it's... I think
he was 79. Merle Haggard was 79.
Was he?
Yeah.
I'm sure he had a pretty easy...
so it wasn't
clean,
like...
Clean living.
Oh, pretty sure that's what... He just went to California's home.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know why I brought that up. Because it would have been appropriate to have a little Merle Haggard coming in. But then again, like you said, I don't know Merle Haggard's song. I just,
okay.
Anyway. I was at this last week. I was back in New York early in the week for a conference.
The Barron's Conference?
No. This was for.
So the Barron's Conference is for.
I spoke at Barron's, had a conference a couple weeks ago.
For the top 100 advisors in the country.
Yeah.
How was that? I haven't talked to you in a while. How was that?
See, Pat, how you doing?
Nice to catch up.
Kids, okay.
Nice to catch up on the air.
How was that conference? I have something I was going to talk about that was relevant on this conference. That was just a fine conference. Thank you.
Of the Barron's Conference.
But I found I had a...
And by the way, thank you for going to the conferences. I'm not a big conference goer myself. So Scott will actually go to the conferences and represent Hanson McClain, and I will ride my bike.
Yeah. Well... I must say, I had an education at a very expensive hike while I was there. I was in Scottsdale, and they have the Camelback Mountain, and I wanted to go do an early morning kind of hike run on Camelback Mountain. But I'm in Scottsdale, and I'm at a hotel.
Okay.
So, and I don't want to carry my phone with me because I like Uber when I travel because it's relatively inexpensive. But I'm at this nice resort, and so I didn't want to carry my phone. So I end up taking the hotel, said, can you get me a car? So this is this like fancy town car. It was $60 to drive me 15 minutes.
Okay.
Then when I finished up, I finished at the Phoenician Hotel where I had the same thing there. So it cost me $125
to
go for a morning workout.
You should have carried your cell phone.
$125. I was not happy with myself.
There was the Barron's Conference.
My big takeaway.
So,
what did you learn from the conference?
Well,
what can you bring back to Handsome McLean to share with the rest of
the advisors? Luxury travel is expensive.
It's an expensive hike. Okay. But anyway, but that's just around a bunch of other financial advice. Not as exciting as this last conference I went to in New York City, and I'm done with travel. But it was a CEO summit. So there's lots of different people from different areas of financial services that are there. There's some
heads of the largest financial services name brand.
Yeah. Well, there was some interesting thing. And one of the things I found most interesting, when you're looking at, there's money, more and more money has been moving to index strategies, right? Away from passive management, active management, where we're getting the best stock pickers, more to passive management because the fees are so low and most stock pickers can't outperform the indexes anyway. Even here in California PERS, Public Employee Retirement System, has shifted a lot of their assets into passive management, indexing.
Indexing.
Then we looked at this last quarter. The first quarter of 2016, this was the worst quarter for stock pickers in years. They continue to underperform the indexes. Active management and you'd think, obviously, the market is made up. I mean, by its very nature, half should outperform and half should underperform. Then when you add fees, now you got the majority automatically are going to have to underperform the index because
indexes naturally underperform their indexes.
Barely, but
they do.
All right. So, but the interesting thing, there was a discussion on hedge funds because we also saw hedge funds are extremely expensive. So, what's been interesting in the last number of years. Indexing has grown, so investors say, oh, you can't outperform the market, so let's just buy the market as low cost as we can. That's what we do for a lot of our Handsome McLean clients, incidentally. We use a lot of index. On the other end is people say, well, there's really good hedge fund managers out there. Hedge funds charge you 2% per year, plus typically 20% of your profits. They take a huge chunk, right? And we've never been big fans of hedge funds here at Handsome McLean because you might have a few great ones, but then you've got a lot of horrible ones.
And the word hedge was always spotty to me.
So the interesting thing is, as one of the sessions I'm in, we were talking about hedge funds, and the presenter put up a slide. This was a quote from 6 months ago from another CEO, because a lot of people in the room kind of, they're not big hedge fund fans either. If it was the hedge fund conference, it would be a different presentation.
Yeah, but it's not.
It's not. So we look at all the data these hedge funds are. So he puts up a quote from someone 6 months ago. So this person was basically disagreed, sent this quote, and he said, leading hedge funds, Pershing Square Capital, Third Point, Tiger Global, those are three that he put in parentheses there, leading hedge funds have great returns in both up and down markets.
That was 6 months
ago. 6 months ago. Since that, one is out of business. They shut down because the performance is so bad. The other two are doing horrible.
In the process.
Horrible. I mean, Tiger, including. I just reading one on the Tiger was down 20-some-odd percent or whatever. It was down dramatically.
And the hedge funds have turned into the new private equities, by the way, which means that their hedge funds typically would take positions in already established companies. They're now investing in smaller startups because they're searching for returns. And they're reshaping their message in order to make it more appealing to the investor.
Yeah. And, you know, by the way, if somebody
most people have no business being in a hedge fund or private equity.
Even people with huge assets. First of all, they're structured as limited partnerships. You're a limited partner. Your money's typically locked up for a period of time. It's complicated. You get the K-1 October 8th. Your tax return's due October 15th, right? So you're waiting for your tax. They're not.
They're hard.
They're just cumbersome. It's not cumbersome. It's not like owning a. Anyway, I thought that was kind of an interesting.
Yeah, and we've seen that these products come and go. The Master Limited Partnership was a big thing that is on its way out. The non-traded real estate.
These Master Limited Partnerships are a problem right now.
Oh my gosh, the taxation inside of IRAs because of
there's more tax.
There's
more tax problems because some of these are now going. They're selling off. And there's all kinds of – they're tremendous tax
Even inside of an IRA. People that have IRAs that own Master Limited Partnerships are now getting
– How many Master Limited Partnerships that we've recommended to our clients at Hanson McLean over the years?
We have never, but I got to tell you –
I was going to say, they're not in our bottles.
I had a client a number of years ago bought some and he
against
said,
your recommendation.
Against my recommendation. Yeah. I said, these things – they look good.
Wall Street was, look, the people who produce them are often the ones that sell them, right? So Wall Street, the big Wall Street firms, you can name them. Maybe that's where your broker is. They produce these things, then they tell their brokers how great it is. And your advisor, your broker there can't, they're not, they might try to be unbiased, but they're not. Because when you go into work and everyone's telling you all day, oh, this is the next greatest thing. This is going to solve people's problems. You're going to get high income. Most of these Master Limited Partnerships were built off oil, transportation.
Oil and gas,
transportation.
Pipelines, fracking.
And they're getting, guess what contracts are getting rewritten when these.
Right now. And so on
a disaster. They've been a disaster.
So we believe that visibility, we believe that you having a understanding of your investments is probably the most important thing. And that
transparency.
Transparency and pricing.
Liquidity.
Transparency and pricing. That it's liquid and that you know the value of it. So to that, on our website, moneymatters.com, we have two webinars I want you to look at. One is called Liars, Levies, and Lawsuits, the things your investment advisor doesn't want you to know about them. And this talks about the person that's recommending product. You want to know what your investment advisor, the someone that is trying to sell you or recommend a product to you, you want to know what their background is. Liars, Levies, and Lawsuits. And the other one is on annuities, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because those are, if you were asked me two things that I should do, the first thing I would do is look at the background of the person that I was investing my monies through. And the second thing I would do would look at the transparency of the fee schedule as well as the pricing of the particular product.
You know, it's interesting. We've been financial advisors for a long time, right? We've been doing this program for over 20 years. Someone said, why do you do the program? You seem like you have a big business. You don't really need the money. Why are you doing the program? We see every week people that have been working with advisors that are just inept. Maybe they just don't know any better. I think that's most of the time.
Yeah, we're going to give them that.
Most of the time. Sometimes they're just downright unethical. Most of the time.
Well, the worst are the people that are inept and unethical.
But we see they come in and they say, can you help us? And we see how their money is locked up into all these different things.
Like the guy that had 11 indexed annuities.
Every dime he had. He was a highly educated, wealthy individual. Every dime. 11 indexed annuities from two different companies. 11 indexed annuities.
Criminal.
There's all kinds of. That's why we're passionate about this. And so, anyway, moneymatters.com. We encourage you to go to moneymatters.com. There's lots of great information there to help you along the journey. We're here every week. We'll be here again next weekend as well. And you can get us on a podcast. We encourage you to get our podcast. Go to moneymatters.com. It's been great being with you this weekend. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Enjoy the rest of the week.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.